Good morning, good morning. It's great to see all of you today. We survived yesterday's overfilling experience, and many of us were able to go to that. Thank you for those who came, and hopefully we can get more to come out for our next one, right? Yes. How many of you like to eat? Okay, just thought I'd check. I know sometimes the doctor says we can't have everything we want. So we almost sometimes take that into consideration, almost. But anyway, it was a great day yesterday, and it's a great day today. God has given us another great day to honor and serve Him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 records the wonderful promise for Christians, "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." How many needs? All of our needs. Now, sometimes we get some wants mixed up into that, don't we? Yeah. But truly, God is good. He has kept His promise with my life through all these years, all these decades. And I think that if each one of us were to be honest about it, just the fact that we are still alive, that we're here today, isn't God taking care of your needs, your basic needs? And God has fulfilled that, especially when we are walking in Jesus Christ. God's hand is upon His children. I entered full-time ministry over 40 years ago. Where did time go? Woo! And began down in Deming at working with the First Christian Church down there. And I was single in those days. I had more than enough food. I had more than enough provisions, a nice place to live in. And I had more than enough cleaning supplies. I think everybody thought that being a young man, I should have a good supply of cleaning supplies. So all the house gifts that were brought were, guess what? Mops, brooms, sponges, cleaners. I could have started my own cleaning business. But that wasn't the reason why I was in town. just the point that through my life, God has been faithful. God's repeated message throughout Scripture, He wants to provide abundantly for all of His children. How many are His children? All humanity. We are all made in His image, and He wants all of us to be blessed. The closing comments of God to Israel in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10, we're probably familiar with that. The message was, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord, if I would not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until there is no more need." God is the provider for all. He is the provider. He was the provider for the nation of Israel. And He challenged them, "You're not honoring me. You're not bringing the tithe in." Tithe was part of the Mosaic law. Now, I'm not preaching about tithing today. Some of you are going, "Whew, missed that one." But the fact is, God gives everything to humanity. He endows us with all that we possess. And today we're going to be looking at the faithfulness of the provider. The faithfulness of the provider. God is the provider. Jesus is the provider. Jesus is God. And He takes care of those around Him. I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30 through the end of the chapter. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to Him all that they had done and taught. And He said to them, "Come away by yourselves in a secluded place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. Well, the people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and it is already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down and by groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. And he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Would you pray with me? Father, as we open up these scriptures, as we open up and look at this text, Father, we thank you that you are the great provider. You provide for every one of us our life to start with. Our very being is because you have allowed it. We thank you for everything that surrounds us, all that you give us, all that you entrust us with. We pray that we will honor you and glorify you through it. And as we trust in you, we see your hand to continue to provide for us. Thank you. Greatest of all, you've provided redemption through Jesus. And you've promised us an eternal home with you forever in your perfection. Thank you. Help us now to stretch, grow in our thinking, our understanding of your scripture, of your text, of your will for our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have 3 points that I want to touch on real quickly from this passage. First of all, that God provides for all of our physical well-being. God provides for our physical well-being. Here we have a story. The 12 apostles have just returned from being sent out in pairs of two to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. The Messiah is coming. Prepare the way for the kingdom. Everybody needs to repent. Get your lives in order with God because the Master, the Savior, is present. They've returned from their first mission tour, and they took with them how much extra food, how much extra clothing? Zero. Nothing. Jesus sent them out to totally depend upon God's provision. Did God provide for them? Definitely. Everything that they needed, their housing, their food, even their clothing, if they needed clothing, extra change of shoes, whatever it was, God provided everything for them as they went out on that mission trip. The plan was successful. Jesus knew what he was doing. He always does. Amen. Some of you are asleep already. God is good. He is the provider. Jesus is the provider. Jesus knew that his men needed some rest now. They had come back from working hard. The 12 had been out there just giving their all to spread the good news about Jesus, and they needed to restore their energy. The word in Hebrew is Sabbath. They needed a Sabbath. They needed a rest. They needed a break. They needed a vacation. How many of you ever get to that point in your life? I need a break. I need a vacation. Well, a Sabbath is a break in pattern from your regular labor, your regular routine of survival, of providing for you and your family, to do something relaxing, restful. And these guys needed a break. Jesus saw it. They've been working hard. God's plan for people provides for a time of rest. This is something regular in God's plan, providing a time for rest and restoration. He didn't make us to be functioning full throttle all the time. continuously. God set a pattern at the very beginning in creation. He worked 6 days and then he rested one. Did God need the rest? No, he did it as an example for humanity. And as a matter of fact, the thought behind that is God was creating new things for 6 days, and then on the seventh, he sustained what he had. If God did not sustain what he had done, or even today, if God does not sustain us today, if God says enough, what's going to happen? Poof! It's all going to end. Because it is God's power that holds all things together, the scripture tells us. But he changed his pattern from creative process to just celebrating what he had done. He rested one day. He stopped his creative process. And he designed our bodies to work, but also to do what? To rest. And we should probably listen and follow the pattern that God has given to us. Don't you think that would be wise? God knows what he's doing, and God knows what's best for us. And he set us a pattern. Now, we're not to do it by the law. We're not living under Mosaic law. There's no command in what we would call the patriarchal age. You must work 6 days and rest on this day. We have that issue addressed in the New Testament. But we should be taking time to find rest. Now, some of us may be taking a little bit too much rest and not focusing on what we should be doing. How many of you like to get lazy? Oh, no hands enough. Thank you, Linda. I'm glad you're honest. There are times when we just get worn out. And we need rest. God is not surprised by that. He has made a design that we should be paying attention to. Now, there's an added benefit of taking a day off from our regular slavery, our regular routine, is that we can make time to focus on worshiping our loving Creator in a greater way. Now, we should be loving God and serving Him, thinking about Him every single day. Which day is the one that God has made for us? Every single day, and we should be rejoicing in it. However, there is a need of providing for our family, for our friends, for our responsibilities, and so we take a day off. The Old Testament law had ordered worship as part of the Sabbath day, the rest day. But shouldn't we who are believers in God love Him enough so much that we want to take time to be with Him? I think that if we are loving God and have an opportunity to get away from the necessities of maintaining just living, and we have some time away, that we would want to get with our loving Father. Now, I don't know about you, some of you weren't able to, and I'm not scolding you. Yesterday, we had a small group that got together. I like to get together. How many of you like to get together? Do you like to get together with your families, your friends? How about, do we really like to get together with God? I hope so. And the way we do that is through our time of worship. So we have that added benefit of being able to gather together, and the encouragement from New Testament that we not forsake our gathering together when the church family is gathering. Jesus commands his men to take the boat to a quiet place. He didn't say, hey guys, let's take a vote. Did Jesus do that with the disciples? No, he said, guys, you need a rest. Take the boat, let's go find a secluded place. They were in need of some time away because they weren't even able to sit down to have a meal because there were so many people coming to see Jesus. There was no peace. There was no quiet where they were at. And Jesus realized the only way we're going to get away from this, the only way that you men are going to get some needed rest is that we go find a secluded place. Now, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, they were fishermen. They knew the Sea of Galilee. They probably knew exactly where a good spot would be that no villages were around, no people were around, and away they went, thinking they were going to get some rest, right? That was the plan. That was the command. Jesus had ordered them, let's go get some shut-eye, let's go get some rest. Into the boat they went, and away they went across the water. We come to our second point. God provides for the needs of other people from what He has given to us. God provides for the needs of other people through what He has given to us. Now here I want to clarify that God expects all of us to do our part. All of us should be working. But there are times and there are events when somebody has a need that they cannot meet at the time. But we may have the ability to meet that need. And we find this to be the true in our story that we have read from Mark in this today's passage. Multitudes of needy people welcomed Jesus to the remote, isolated landing. Imagine the surprise of the disciples when they got to this place that they knew nobody lived around here. It's always quiet here, and who do they find? They find a multitude of people standing on the shore. Woo! Here comes Jesus! What? What happened? Well, the scripture tells us all the eyes of the crowd had been on the boat as they go floating out across the water, and the people are calculating, where is he going? Can I get there too? And they determined exactly where the boat was headed to, and they figured it out. How many of people are smart? And they wanted to be with Jesus. And what happened? They all ran to their villages. It doesn't say in this particular text, but I believe they were grabbing up their sick people and saying, we've got to get over there because Jesus is going to be over there. You've got to come with us. Mark says they all went running to be where Jesus was at. They were anxious. They were excited. The disciples were worn out. And then they had to row their way across the lake. I imagine they were really looking for a good time of rest. But when they arrive, here's this multitude of needy people, people who wanted to be around Jesus. And as Jesus gets out of the boat, Jesus does what? He has compassion on this crowd, on these multitudes of people who had flocked to them. And Mark describes them like sheep without a shepherd. They were just out there wandering. They were needing help. When was the last time you ran to listen to somebody? As you can look at my physique, I haven't done much running at all. But these people ran to be with Jesus around the lake, and they got there before the boat did. They were desperate to be with Jesus. How desperate are we to be with Jesus? That's a little side story in itself. But Jesus has compassion on this crowd. Their greatest need was to know God's Word, so the Word of God shared the message of love, compassion, of divine truth. The message of God wanting them to be with Him. And Jesus preaches, teaches, preaches, teaches, and preaches, and teaches, and preaches. And are you getting tired yet? They didn't. They listened till noon came. They listened till afternoon came, and it was turning to evening, and they were staying right there listening to every word that Jesus had to share with him until it was very late, the scripture says. Now the disciples became concerned. Jesus, do you know what time it is? You've been preaching too long. You need to send these people home. It's quite evident they're not leaving. And as a matter of fact, look, there's still some more coming over the hill right there. Jesus, you need to stop this right now. They're getting hungry. It doesn't say it right here, but they're probably also saying, and I'm getting tired, I'm getting sleepy. Now, maybe I shouldn't have inserted that. I apologize. But aren't we people a little bit selfish sometimes? There were no food trucks coming. No restaurants close at hand. Jesus, you need to do something about this. Send them away. What was his response? You give them something. Me? You give them what they need. I can't help them. They had a quick response. No, no, not me. But Jesus, the creator of the universe, the one who provides all things, challenged the apostles to figure out how they could help these people in need. They immediately responded, if we had 200 denarii, that's not enough. What is 200 denarii? A denarii is a day's wage. 200 denarii is 200 days' wage. Now, I did a little calculating there. If you take out weekends, days off, holidays, this is two-thirds of a year salary. How many of you are ready to pay two-thirds of your income for a year to feed a crowd? And that's what the disciples are saying. Two-thirds of a year of salary? I don't have that. Well, what do you have? Just a minute here. Nothing in that pocket. Nothing in this pocket. We'll be right back. Let's go see what's out in the pantry. Where's the pantry? In the crowd. Now, I want to back up just here a second. It's not in Mark's account, but I believe it's in John's account. Philip says that even two-thirds of a year's income would not feed the size of this crowd. So the disciples go out to their pantry, to the crowd, start asking around, anybody got some food? Anybody got some food? How many hands went up? None. None. And John's account records that Andrew, brother of Peter, he was out there searching, and he finds one boy with a sack lunch for himself. Now, I just want to ask a little side question here. Where was that boy's mother? They're out in the middle of the boonies. Did that mother know she was going to provide a banquet for the whole multitude of people? No. But she packed up a little lunch, 5 loaves, barley loaves. These are not the best chewing material. Okay? And 2 fish. Son, here's your sack lunch for the day. Go out, behave yourself. I'll see you tonight. And off the boy goes. Where's all the crowd going? Must be interesting. Oh, Jesus, I've heard about Jesus. I want to hear Jesus too. And off over the hills and through the ravines around the lake, miles from home. Did any of you ever go out wandering as a child without your parents' knowledge? Anyway, that's a whole nother story. Sorry, I get sidetracked. Follow these rabbit trails. And one boy just happened to have a sack lunch, enough for himself to get him through the day. And Andrew brings it back and says, I found a little bit of food. A little bit of food. And this boy was willing to give up his lunch. Now, he was probably hungry, but he gave up his lunch when Andrew and Jesus asked for it. That was pretty good of that little guy, wasn't it? And we have a marvelous story because of the sacrifice of a little bit of one person. What does Jesus do? He takes the food and he lifts up his eyes toward what? Toward heaven. Now, some of you probably noticed I did not read two words. When Jesus lifted up his eyes toward heaven, he blessed. What did Jesus bless? Now, I've got written into my text in italicized words, which means that they were not in the original text. Jesus blessed as he looks up to heaven and then broke the loaves. We usually say, hey, it's time to bless the what? Food. If Jesus is looking up towards heaven and he blesses, what is he blessing? Or a better question is, who is he blessing? He's blessing God. God, you provided again. Father, you're taking care of me. And when you get around your table, are you blessing the food because it's food? Or are you blessing the one who gave you the food? Asking his blessing upon what he provided for you. This text kind of made me stop and think. We are so thankful. Yesterday we had, Ted said, I agree with him, we had more than enough food. We had enough for three meals probably. And we stuffed ourselves. And we were thankful, hopefully, because God provided an abundance so that we could enjoy it. Don't just thank stuff. Thank the God who gave you the stuff. The food, the cars, your home, your family. The list goes on. Give God the credit. Give God the credit. He's the provider. He's the one who gave it all to you. And he's the one who can take it away from you if you don't use it properly. And so Jesus blesses God and thanks him for providing 5 loaves and 2 fish for a multitude of people. And Jesus begins. The Creator, the hands of the Creator begin providing for the multitude until everyone had more than enough to eat. And they were all satisfied. Satisfied. They couldn't eat anymore. And Mark adds a quick note at the very end of the story. Over 5,000 men were there. About 5,000 is what he says. If we go to the record in Matthew or Luke or John, we read that there were not just men in the crowd, there were also women and children. You start extrapolating that out. If families were there, if people are so desperate that they're running to see Jesus, the whole family is probably going if they got 2 legs. How many families have 2 legs on every person? Twenty. 20, 30, 40,000 people? We don't know. But definitely 5,000. How many of you ladies want to cook for 5,000 people at one day? Jesus provided, and there were leftovers. They couldn't eat anymore, and there were leftovers. 12 large basketfuls. Because God provided abundantly. God met their need more than enough, satisfying everybody because of the sacrifice of one boy and his sack lunch. God uses us to provide for the spiritual needs of others. The main reason Jesus came into this world, in his own words, John chapter 10, verse 10, that you might have life abundantly. We all seek life, don't we? We protect ourselves from harm. We want life. We want goodness. Jesus said, I came to give it to you. And in the words of John 3:16, that we might have everlasting life. God is concerned about our physical needs, but he's more importantly concerned about our spiritual need. God wants us to have an eternal life with him. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, have everything, have all the stuff, and forfeit his soul? A lot of people pursuing everything in the world, but leaving God out of the picture. What is it going to profit them? How will they benefit once they die? Scripture says they're going to hell if they left God out of the picture. If you leave Jesus out of the picture, you're going to hell. So we need to be careful, is the warning of Scripture. Get our priorities straight. Jesus identified himself as the bread of life the very next day. Now, we don't find this in Mark's record. We have to go over to the text, the account recorded by the Apostle John. John chapter 6, verse 22 and following has this same story of Jesus feeding the multitude, miracles that took place immediately afterwards, and then Jesus talking to the crowd the next day. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Jesus identified himself as the manna that fed Israel 1,400 years earlier. Hold it here. Jesus, you're only 30 years old. Who do you think you are? Jesus said he is the bread of life. He is the manna. He is the one who provides life. And then he really threw some twisters in. We're going to get to that in just a second. In verse 35, he said, and this is John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Never get hungry? Never get thirsty? How many of you get hungry every day? Or more than once in a day? What are you talking about, Jesus? And then he really does a Lulu. He said, you believers must eat me and drink me. Whoa, now you've gone too far. You're talking about cannibalism. And John records that a lot of the crowd just picked up their bags and went away. They said, we're not going to eat and drink you. When was the last time you had a bath? I don't like finger steaks or a few other things that you're suggesting. But Jesus wasn't talking about physical cannibalism. Because Jesus, the Apostle John presents the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And Jesus goes on in John chapter 6, verse 63. You have to get to the end of the conversation. What are you talking about? The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life, is what Jesus said. The words that I'm speaking to you are bread, are living water. Take my words. And Jesus asked the disciples, you going to leave me too? Look at the crowd. They're all leaving. And Peter's response was, who will we go to you? You have the what? Words of life. So Peter understood. Do we understand? Eating and drinking of Jesus. Taking His word into our life. Living for Jesus. Presenting Jesus, honoring Jesus, all things in who? Jesus. We must serve the right master. We must serve the right master. Not ourself, not our possessions, but Jesus. God. Serve God who provides everything that we need. Do not serve the things that God gives us. Jesus warns us to not try to serve both stuff and God, mammon and God, possessions and God, wealth and God. It doesn't work. Does not work. You can only have one master. And it better be God. And it better be Jesus. Because Jesus is God. Salvation comes only through who? Jesus. He's our only hope. Jesus promises that all of our needs will be met when we trust in God. We find in Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But you've got to have the right priority. Seeking God, serving God, living for God, and He provides the stuff. Don't get a cattywampus. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I get kind of tickled when Jesus said that. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do your days have trouble? There's frustrations. But what are we to do? Keep our focus on loving God, serving God, and God has promised to take care of the stuff. Jesus commands His disciples to teach others about the good news of salvation. It's the commission. The end of Matthew, the end of Mark includes that commission. Don't keep it a secret. Take the message out to the world that there is salvation available in one person, Jesus Christ. The good news of forgiveness and redemption through Jesus Christ is to be our top priority as believers. Now, we are encouraged to meet the physical needs as well. As God provides extra for us to use for others, we are to wisely do that. But our top priority is not to set tables and feed food. Our top priority is to spread the message of salvation in Jesus. To do the other, to assist with the spreading of the gospel. Physical needs are secondary to telling the good news of life in Jesus. We can provide things as we show Christian love to others, but if we fail to call people to obedience to Christ, we have failed our purpose. So let's continue to do good things, helping people with their needs, but make sure that they understand that it's because God loves them and wants them to repent from sin and come to salvation in Jesus. God is the great provider of all things. Everything belongs to Him, and He gives things of His creation to each one of us according to our abilities to use them, according to the plan that He has for us to use them for His glory. But the greatest need of humanity is the restoration of that personal relationship with God Jesus Christ is the door of salvation for all who would come and enter in through Him. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus. And God provided that salvation, that eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're entering into the Christmas season that is supposed to be about who? Jesus Christ. Not the presents, not the trees, not the lights, not the tinsel, not all the decorations, but it's about salvation has come for all people. 2,000 years ago, a baby was born, a promised baby, who would break the cycle of sin, conquer the power of sin by resurrecting from the grave. God provided faithfully a redeemer for all. Let's never fail to honor God who provides for us faithfully, living for Jesus, honoring Jesus in all things. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for being the great provider. Help us to not get our priorities all mixed up, but to do all things to raise up the name of Jesus, to lift up Jesus before all people, to share the message of hope and life in Jesus, not in stuff. We thank you for meeting all of our needs. Help us to use it wisely to glorify your name in the name of Jesus. Father, if there are any here who have not made a commitment to Jesus, I pray that they will speak with us. Help us to help them to be one with you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray in His name. Amen.